Tuesday Takeover with One True Pairing on FUBAR Radio.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. Welcome, everybody. One True Pairing Takeover on FUBAR Radio. It's my absolute pleasure to be here with you all. Hope you're listening. Hope you're sitting somewhere very comfortably. Let's have some Peggy.
Shit. I tell him pull up, bitch. Cease to exist. Alright, don't get exposed, nigga. Keep cold, nigga. Only in it for the cash and my gold. Shit post, nigga.
My dog, two stones, Twitter. Twitter.
Son, ain't no details.
No.
Ain't no conversations.
No.
Ain't no real money in rap. It's all retail. It's all outrage. Now put this pussy in a prime position.
For real.
Young Peggy, I'm a false prophet. Bringing white folks this new religion. My fans need new addictions. Niggas be talking shit. I tell them pull up, bitch. Cease to exist. Don't get exposed, nigga. Keep cold, nigga. Only in it for the cash, my gold, nigga. Shit post, nigga. Say what you said on Twitter right now.
Exactly.
You only brave with a board and a mouse.
You wouldn't talk, I wanna put you in the ground.
Sucker.
Don't leave the house.
Don't get capped by a nigga in a motherfucking gown. These niggas fragile. Rap been so good to me. I hope it get me canceled. I hope that I'll be dazzled. Ooh, bitch, I must be scared. I pack a fix in case you bitches want a scandal. I can't. Glock with the dick. Y'all be typing it. Y'all ain't gonna do shit. Pussy ass life.
Ace. Really good to be here. One True Pairing Takeover. I've got my my good friend and stage mate Josh Taylor Moon in the place.
Oh yeah.
He's doing okay, you well?
I'm alright, I've got a pint of water.
He's got a pint of water, yeah. I've got a black coffee. It's instant coffee, but you know, this is internet radio. So, I'm about to give Josh PTSD by playing one of my songs. You wanna hear one of my songs?
I'd love to once more. Yeah. Is this the last time though?
Hell no. It's one true pairing.
Never seen my shoreline. Though it was something I'd never find. But two lives entwined, a star-crossed, I would live to save this love we found. Bound forever, and I'm not so kind.
Always have.
Cause you always knew it in this way. One space, one time, we share one true pair.
Hi guys, it's One True Pairing Takeover on FUBAR Radio. This is Tom, also known as... Sorry, Thomas Fleming, also known as One True Pairing. I got my my good friend and bandmate, Josh Taylor Moon here, do we call it that?
I think we can call it
that. I think we can call it that. Yeah. He's just been on a very exhaustive tour with me. He's the real talent in it, playing everything, synthesizer.
I'm triggering everything, not necessarily playing.
We are triggering everything, eh? Eh,
hey,
all right?
Hey.
I'm all right?
That's good.
We got some guests coming on.
He's
we got pretty soon we're going to have the wonderful Richard Dawson on the phone. We can have Ellie Moore from Help Musicians. We can have the wonderful folk singer Sam Lee. We can have the amazing novelist Cash Carraway. We can have Matt from Algiers, the wonderful rock band. It's going to be a hell of a show. Please do stay with us. I'm going to play you a song by good friends of mine. This is a track by Donor Lens. It's called Dimensions, The Size of My Love.
Thank you.
Hi, everybody. I think I have my first guest on the phone. Please welcome the wonderful Richard Dawson. Are you there, Richard?
Hello.
Amazing. Thank you for coming on.
You did it.
No props.
Yeah, we did it. I made it work. I made it happen. Pleasure to have you on the show. I'm a huge fan of yours, as I hope many of the listeners are. They bloody well should be. Just have a congratulations on the record.
Cheers. Thank you very much. I should just say I've got a black cat on my shoulder called Trouble, and she's sort of purring into the phone, and she's doing her best to rub her scent glands on it.
That's perfect. I kind of wish I had you in the studio with your cat, to be honest. So that would have been live and things.
Oh yeah. She's pretty full on. She doesn't like to travel though. So
I think if a cat says something, you've just got to do. Do you know what I mean? I think cats tend to be the boss.
You do. You've got to listen. Did you ever see that book, The Codex Serafinianus?
I actually did not. Please tell us about it.
It's an incredible book of drawings and this kind of script, which is in some unknown language or code, but the guy who made the book...
Carry on, please.
He had a white cat on his shoulder throughout the process of making it, and he writes in the notes that he believes the book was written by the white cat.
Amazing. I mean, are you sure this wasn't on Peasant?
Well, I was just thinking maybe I can't guarantee you what I'll say to you in the next few minutes will be my own words. It might be Troubles.
that's perfect for us, to be honest. So I saw your show at the Moth Club in Hackney recently, and I think I got to speak to you very briefly afterwards after several pints of warm ale, and I believe your voice had been quite lost by that point, but. I found the whole thing very, very moving. As I find the new record very moving, and I was not alone. I was stood next to a group of men who clearly didn't know your music very well and were losing it every time you sort of sang a new line. Especially from the new, the new record is obviously. I don't want to put too many words in your mouth, but obviously, Peasant was about a sort of like a time past, and 2020 is more about times. As of yesterday or tomorrow, is that correct?
Yeah, you know, not just those things, but certainly like the kind of surface of the records has these sounds. That's the show. The Moth Club was kind of interesting for us because it was the first show with Andrew, the new drummer.
That was his first show.
That was yeah.
Blimey, okay.
My former drummer Matt is the singer in Pigs.
I did not know that.
They're going so well, and it was just too many things going on, so we had to have a sort of change of personnel. So it was Andrew's first show and my first show with these new songs. And,
no pressure.
It was a really like a white knuckle ride, and we couldn't really believe it was happening when it did. And of course, when we came out, it was so hot in there.
It was really sweaty, yeah. I turned up in full winter coat and trying to look cool in my cap, and it was a real mistake. It was a real sweat fest.
Yeah, I was, like, dripping onto my guitar before playing
the notes. I don't want to be too much of a nerd, but I kind of want to talk about... Because I'm a guitar player too, and I kind of wanted to talk about your guitar playing. Firstly, it's really good, and it's really unusual, and it's... I can detect a kind of folk thing, but... Correct me if I'm wrong, there's also a kind of metal thing going on, like a kind of like some of the harmonies on the record. There's a lot of kind of Sabbath, Maiden, System of a Downy sort of stuff. And tell me if I'm wrong.
It's all in there. Everything you hear goes in and gets regurgitated, and then you've got to shat it out somehow.
Yeah, it just falls out of you, right?
I think with the more metal side of things, I really love this band Circle from Finland, and the metal is a big element of what they do, and it's helped me to sort of re-embrace that side, just to be like unashamed. You know, there's nothing to be ashamed of in music, and it kind of suited these songs to have more of those elements, almost like a dad rock. I was thinking about Journeys with my dad and his cassette, his suitcase of cassette.
Oh, wonderful.
Taped off the radio. So, I wanted to make like a pretty much a dad rock album.
Funnily enough, that's what I wanted to do. I opened the show with Animal by Def Leppard, and I kind of want to continue in that vein today.
Very good.
Yeah, well, I'm glad you think so. People look at me like a mental when I say that. but yeah, I mean, yeah, the record's amazing. Maybe we should play some, if that's all right with you.
Sure.
Amazing. This is Civil Servant by Richard Dawson.
Awful call with a grieving mother in where cackling like a hyena at the nasty jokes of my colleagues, none of whom I can stand. In my bed I can hear the strangled voices of the people I feel, I feel, I feel. I don't want to go into work this morning. I just want to lie here and pray that you call it through me. I finally have the courage to ring it sick. I'm coming into work today. I really am. I'm coming into work today.
Fabulous Richard Dawson with a fabulous Civil Servant from his new album 2020. I believe Richard Dawson is still on the phone to us.
It's the right racket.
Here he is. Needless to say, Richard, I absolutely love the record. I think it's an amazing piece of work.
Sounded a bit like Rage Against the Machine.
Well, we were kind of doing a kind of System of Down-ish sort of sing along in here. It feels appropriate. I want to ask you, what was the process of making the record? Like, how live is it? Where did you record it, etc.?
Maybe the first sort of, the music kind of comes through in fits and starts of its own accord, and so I tend to get all the music. The last couple of records I've worked this way get the kind of all the music kind of written, mm-hmm. and then I'll take, once I've got the album or what I think is most of the album, I'll write the words sort of in one period.
I see.
So then I can approach it as writing lyrics for an album as opposed to writing lyrics kind of for individual songs.
Yeah, just cause. It does feel very, certainly lyrically, obviously, very cohesive. It feels like there is a kind of like overarching kind of like, obviously there's a context to it all, but there's like an emotional content as well, which kind of, which I found crept up on me by stealth. You know what I mean? Because there's all this kind of like imagery of the modern world, and it kind of like, you kind of sort of, slip a blade in at the last minute, and it's wonderful.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, you just follow where it leads, but certainly I'm more interested in writing like whole pieces rather than individual songs, or at least that was what was appropriate for this material. It might be that, I really like the idea of writing it, and maybe just throwing together an album of songs is very appealing because it's a bit more of an easier task, I guess.
Yeah, well, especially after you've done this for a little while.
Yeah, I think the last few have been pretty intense. It's a good process too, and having that kind of framework helps. And also certain things that you couldn't get away with if it was just song by song.
Of course, yeah.
You know, these songs kind of help each other out, I think. Certain little links, certain mirrored melodies here and there, certain shared words. Just, moments in one song can help make sense of moments in another, because there's some pretty, quite awkward moments. I wanted it to be quite an awkward experience to hear.
Sure.
And quite uncomfortable, like it's not comfortable in its own skin.
I totally hear you, and I think there is, I don't know what listeners think. I think it's an incredible record, and I think it's worth anybody's time, and I think there's very few records released or anything like it this year, and I think it's really wonderful. So thank you for coming on the show, Richard. A real pleasure to have you.
Well, thank you very much, but let me, before we go, just there's a record just out, an album by Hannah Diamond.
Hannah Diamond.
Yeah, she's like the PC music star.
Wicked, okay.
And the most amazing pop music. This is the record of 2019.
Hannah Diamond. We'll try and find some. We'll try and find some for the show. Thank you.
Oh, you'll love it. Yeah, nice one.
Wicked. Thank you very much, Richard. You have a good evening.
Yeah, nice talking to you.
My pleasure. Take care.
Cheers, bye.
And cue to self-esteem. Hi everyone, and we're back. The One True Pairing Takeover on FUBAR Radio. That was the very wonderful Self-Esteem, which I'm a huge fan of, and I think my dear friend Josh in the studio is as well.
Indeed.
So Ellie Moore from Help Musicians UK has very graciously agreed to come into the studio. Hello, Ellie.
Hello, Tom. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. Yeah.
Good, yeah. Obviously, coming onto live radio can be quite hectic, so thank you for gamely dealing with it all.
Not a problem.
Ellie is from Help Musicians, which is something I believe in quite strongly. They're helping to kind of help promote and look after mental health in the music industry, in and around the music mm-hmm. industry. I can talk about it, but maybe you should be the one to do so.
So Help Musicians is a independent music charity. We've been going for about 100 years. So
wow. Is that
it's
right?
Our birthday in 2021. We'll be 100 years old.
Goodness
we were
me.
Set up around the time of kind of Elgar and all those guys. So, you know.
Forgive me, I just to pause you there, I had absolutely no idea. I was under the impression this was like a social media-led recent thing. That's incredible.
I mean, the kind of the new, I guess, campaigning about mental health in the music industry, and our Music Minds Matter service is quite new, but the charity of itself is quite old. We kind of do two things, but they interlink quite well. So we have our health and welfare support, which ranges from really individual casework, so people that apply to us in times of crisis or with particular health needs. We have a the Music Minds Matter support service, which is a 24-hour helpline for people working in music. We have a hearing health scheme, which is a kind of preventative intervention to help musicians with their hearing. So that offers kind of hearing protection and audiological assessment. So a range of stuff there. And we also have a what we call the Creative Programme, which is for career development funding, essentially. And that's anything from people that want to undertake a course that might, at any age, any genre. By the way, this is all our work is any age, any genre, just professional musicians or emerging professionals.
Wonderful.
Yeah, and yeah, so supporting people to undertake courses, that could be in Ableton, that could be in Baroque bowing, you know, it's all of that. And to making albums, and we have lots of different funds, from Do It Differently Fund to Transmission Fund. But yeah, so we're kind of there to support musicians throughout their careers, in terms of career development and health and welfare, and we see those as quite an interlinked thing.
Oh, I'd agree with you. I think it's great that you have a holistic approach, because so often any kind of care is not linked up at all. It's sort of like very granular and can be quite difficult to get hold of. I mean, I was in a band for sort of 10 years. I'm doing a solo record now, but it was, when I started, it was even amongst kind of like fey indie bands, it was a very macho culture, and it was very much a kind of like a certain amount of, say, substance abuse or romantic mental health around sort of depression or sadness or any of that stuff was just kind of expected, and there wasn't anything like the visibility that you have now. And I think that, like, having me backstage at festivals recently, there are always sort of like mental health support, there's always people to talk to around addiction, there's always sort of, it's in the conversation.
Yeah, I'm glad,
you know,
that you've had that experience as well. I'm glad that it is visible.
Well, it is, and I think also the conversation around mental health has really improved, but also, I mean, also sort of additional factors, you know, chronic illness, the ideas of like failure and success, you know, and the ideas of like kind of like self-image problems and those kind of things. I think they're all kind of interlinked. And the music industry, forgive me, I'm going to say this live on radio, it does prey on weak people. It does feed vulnerable people into the mincer if you're not careful. And I think for help musicians to kind of be around, even like just to that musicians know it exists, is a really positive thing.
Yeah, and we've, because we've been going for so long, and because we do a lot, we work directly with musicians, so we see their applications, we talk to them, we do a lot of research-led, kind of evidence-based programming. We kind of get those experiences, and they tell us that, and we try and kind of do new things to help them. And we often work in partnership, but we do work in partnership a lot more with other people in the music, parts of the music industry. So, for instance, with our Music Minds Matter service, the PRS, Performing Rights Society's benevolent funds involved in that. So there's a lot more, like you said, there's a lot more conversation about it and a lot more partners coming together to try and solve some of the problems. Or not solve, we can't solve the problems, some of them, but
you manage the ongoing issues. And also the, I mean, me and Josh speak about this a lot, like the kind of, because we tour together a lot, and there's a lot of like, it raises a lot of issues, you know, like the kind of success and failure and the kind of ups and downs and stuff, and the fact that you're always around booze and temptations. And
but yeah, it's just accepted, you know, on any ride you just go backstage and you might have said, I want a beer. It's like, all right, well, we gave you a beer each, and then we've just given you a bottle of wine, a bottle of whiskey as well. So, you know, fill your boots. Oh, and you've got a sandwich to share. You know, it's like kind of thing. It's just like they presume that because you're a musician, you're going to want to get absolutely trashed, or you want that option.
And also, like, your name's on the poster only has not really sold enough tickets, so you're losing money, and yet you're still kind of like, oh, you've been up sort of like 18 hours and like all this stuff. And then you go home and kind of mull over it. And like, if you talk to people about it, very
isolating.
Quickly. And this is it. I think something I think I've learned is you never really get a sense of what people think of you. So you're always kind of, like, a real sense. It's always a kind of skewed one.
You can't really. That's the problem. You can't ever know what people think of you.
No.
So it's a difficult thing to stew over and then be on your own. And Yeah, which is why the music Minds Matters though has been quite good, because that has been somewhere that people can kind of call. And we do quite a lot of research with different groups of people, and we do see people feeling isolated, and that can be, it could be on tour, but it can also be if you're working in the studio for a long time on a project, and you made an album, and you've worked on it for a really long time, and then that period stops, and you're waiting for someone to put it out, and then there's this kind of like periods of transition, which can be
kind of purgatory,
can be difficult, and I think sometimes even just sharing that experience with people that understand and aren't gonna go, well, you're a musician, so you should be having fun, and
you do what you love for a living, so it's not even work, is it?
that's that's a very difficult conversation to have, because it should be fun, it should be joyous, you know, you should be about sharing music, but it's not always, you know. I think that chimed with me what you were just saying there. I mean, I can mark my calendar by which psychological pressure I'm going to have. Do you know what I mean? And frankly, if you're a reasonably coddled 18, 19-year-old with a delicate disposition, it's a huge challenge, and you're just thrown into it. You know what I mean?
And I guess with you guys sharing, doing stuff like this, and sharing those kind of like, you know, like realistic stories, or people talking about their experiences a bit more, that I think that's been a really good development. We've been doing kind of I'm plugging our podcast.
No, plug away. You're here to plug. Please feel free to plug.
Yeah, we recently did some. We've been doing some kind of podcasts and things, and trying to talk about get musicians themselves to talk about health experiences they've been going on with. It's called the Elevate Podcast, and you can find it.
That's the Elevate Podcast.
And I'll try and find the actual information, and then I'll tell you again at the end. Because I've got lots of bits of paper.
Yeah, you know, there's lots of stuff kicking around the studio, and I must stress, as you probably realise, I am not a professional radio presenter, ladies and gentlemen.
It's the new psychological pressure for you. Live on radio. Just test yourself.
Just throw myself in. But yeah, so Ellie Moore, thank you very, very much for coming in. I really believe in the work you're doing, and I think it's about time you guys have been doing it for 100 years, but it's about time I knew about it. All right, thank you very much. Absolute pleasure having you.
Cheers.
Let's have some Joni. Thank you. It's just so good.
Tuesday Takeover with One True Pairing on FUBAR Radio.
You heard me. One True Pairing Takeover on FUBAR Radio. It's Tom Fleming here, who is also One True Pairing. We got Josh Taylor Moon in here as well.
Who is also...
He's also well, bandmate? Bandmate?
I think it's a bandmate thing.
Bandmate, top lad. Yeah, you know, yeah. General all-round talent.
Just lad, yeah.
Make stuff happen. The producer wants to talk about the tour, so I guess we should talk about our own tour.
Yeah, there's been many.
We just did a headline tour of the UK with a couple of festivals in Europe thrown in. Toured as support to local natives, did summer festivals. So it's all quite... reasonably early thing at the moment, you know what I mean? It's fairly low-key, but obviously I put out my first debut record. It's not really my debut record. I've made, like, 7 or 8 studio albums. But
you can still call it a debut,
first one is One True Pairing, yeah. You know what I mean? And I, it's been going okay, hasn't it?
I think it's been going good.
Been kind of entertaining ourselves with the Mac Lads in the car. And, like, if anyone doesn't know the Mac Lads, I'm not going to play it on the show, but you should go and check it out.
It's basically the most horrendous music going, pretty much. Yeah. But you need to know it's there. You need to know where the bottom is.
Yeah, you need. Exactly. Yeah, you need to know how far you can dive, really, don't you?
Yeah.
Before we go further, actually, I just remembered I should probably touch again on what Ellie Moore was saying about Help for Musicians. There's obviously the Help Musicians UK website, and there's Music Minds Matter. And they also have a podcast called Elevate Music, which is all about the kind of like the holistic approach to kind of health and mental health and, I guess, hope in music, like trying to give back, because it should be a joyous experience, right?
Yeah.
It's not always.
Well, I mean, I think a lot of people presume that it is just that all the time. It's like, oh, you've got to enjoy it, though. You've got to enjoy it. And it's like, you do enjoy it. And I think you tend to enjoy it a lot of the time in retrospect. Like, you finish a show, the show went well, you meet people afterwards, and it's great. Until that point, it's a blur of being in a van or being in a car, trying to shove some food down your throat.
Yeah.
Sound checking and it is all good fun, and it's better than a lot of people's lot, you know.
True. But this is it. We're all very kind of like reticent to complain about it. Mm. But there are, as with everything, there are downsides and there are pressures, and bad things do happen to people. So it's quite nice that it's being talked about.
I think it's good that you put a support structure in there for people who just want to be like, hang on a minute. Because as has been discussed, it's like the sort of thing you don't want to necessarily feel like you're all right to complain to someone who doesn't do what you do.
Because
you will often have those reactions that were just like, well, you know, I do this for a living, and that's also pretty shit. So at least you get to see, you know, Glasgow on a rainy Tuesday.
Yeah, you get to see some airports, some hotels, and some vans. Yeah. I am kidding. It is a nice aspect. I didn't get on a plane until I was 19, and now occasionally we'll just go to Japan just cause.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's all right. The show's been all right. I think people are starting to get hold of what I'm doing and like what it's all about. The kind of a seriousness versus the absurdity of One True Pairing, the whole thing.
I think getting out the record has, you know, I mean, you played it to me. I think I was one of the first people to hear it straight.
I think you were, yeah.
After the mastering engineer.
After it went out for remastering because I wanted it to sound like Yeezus.
Yeah. I think we're just like... Yeah, you came around to my house and then we drank 3 bottles of wine.
Was it three? It was some.
Yeah.
Hence Help for Musicians.
Yeah. And I think it was a case of you were like, I'm just going to play one song. And I was like, yeah, cool. And then you were like, I'm going to play one more. And then we basically heard the whole album, but not in the right order.
It's just me kind of like panicking and like, please don't hate it. Please don't hate it. I mean, I was hating it, but you know.
Yeah. But no, I think it's gone down well with people, and getting it out there and standing in front of people and shouting at them seems to be going pretty well.
It's all right, isn't it? Yeah, it's all right. Kind of like implicating the middle classes of Britain. It's quite fun. You know what I mean? Should we play some music?
Let's do it.
Well, would you like me to play some Replacements?
Yes, please.
This is the ledge.
Absolute ledge.
With One True Pairing on FUBAR Radio.
We'll be right back.
We're back, everyone. That was Passacalia. I'm not going to attempt to pronounce it correctly, from the new Liturgy record that Hunter Hendrix just dropped out of absolutely nowhere. I think it's great. Please do check it out. Even if transcendental black metal isn't your thing, and let's face it, it might not be. We've got Sam Lee in the studio, the very wonderful singer Sam Lee.
Hey.
Thank you for being here with
us.
How are you doing?
Oh, really well. Okay, there's a nice echo here. It's like we're in a church.
It is a bit, isn't it? It's
a really small church.
As it's radio, let's pretend we are. So, congratulations on the new song, the new single, as it were.
Thank you.
It's wonderful. Would you call yourself a folk singer? Is that fair?
It's the default term.
Of course.
Yeah.
You're certainly involved, like, I think people like to call you that anyway. And you're definitely involved in the folk tradition, as it were. I mean, this is a traditional song, right?
It is. They're actually all the lyrics I've rewritten.
Right.
So, yeah, let's just settle on that one, even though I have no idea what that word means. And I get less interested in what it means
I mean, where I'm from, it just means person.
Yeah.
person or people, so.
Exactly. As long as there's some humanity in it.
Yeah, yeah.
It's certainly a very protected term, isn't it? It can be a bit rarefied, folk. People have varying ideas of what it is or should be.
I think it's one of those, it means many different things to many different people. Mm. And actually, to the point where it doesn't really mean much at all anymore.
Sure,
I remember, this is a lame thing to say, but the year of the Mercuries, when I was there, mm-hmm. every artist in their biog had the word folk in it. Mm. Literally everyone.
It's probably mental health now. There's a hot tagline that comes along every year, and so it was some of it is justified and some of it is not.
Yeah.
But it's really wonderful. Perhaps we should hear it. Yeah. This is Sam Lee with the Garden of England, Seeds of Love.
We sowed the seeds of love. We showed them how to sing. Grown with a knowing of something in their blood, where ceremony begins. When the apron string unpinned. My garden was forsook. To weigh in on industry, raised behind the altar under oak and ash, I grew to a bonnie rowan tree, freely in my own country. But some old oak trees won't twist, for they're brittle beneath the bark. Better the limbs be broken, brought to ground, and service the light to dark, to dark, to dark. We're just servants unto the dark. For the gatekeeper can stand by, for they must be bound to be free. Light working the liminal, listening to the land and fingering at mystery, not Sally, free and easy. Oh grief of eye, the songs they go to decay. The garden of England once bloomed its soundless salt, now destined for some bouquet. No roses in this display. For the rose it bore a thorn, a spritz of willful spark, taming its temper to never pierce the palm, or never touch the heart, the heart, the heart. No poison tip to the dark. We sow the seed seeds of love. We showed them how to sing, grown with the knowing of wildness in their blood. More than the sum of the everything, the old wild never wears thin. Sweet as the buds in the spring, heart sings the songs that tell of our own kith and kin. The old world never wears thin. Out of decay, new life springs. It springs as the anima sheds its own skin. Its skin, with this pebble rose its big rings. The old world never wears thin. The old world never wears thin. Some of my favorite things, the old one never wears thin.
Sam Lee, everybody, is here in the studio with us with Gardens of England, Seeds of Love. It's an incredible track. Thank you for coming in.
Pleasure.
So, yeah, I mean, we've spoken a lot about the music and about folk music and what it means to either of us, but I wanted to ask you about your activism and about, I guess, your relationship of music to that for you and, I guess, how you feel about your role in it, if I may. I know it's a large question to answer in this kind of context, but...
Well, thank you, because it's the question that I'm always asking as well, of how does me being a musician singing songs connect in with actually what I feel my maybe greater purpose is about, the drawing attention to both the beauty of the natural world and also the crisis that we're involved in right now, the ecological crisis and climate emergency. And that actually what if art and being a musician and being a performer and having a platform gives me one privilege, it's probably to declare my love and, you know, let people know about what's going on in the world right now, which is not good.
No. Well, it's really nice that you can frame it in love and frame it in a positive manner, because a lot of it is... for obvious reasons, you know, there's a lot of things to be angry about and a lot of things to be upset about, especially in this country. And I think, and especially if you want to talk about what's going on in the global south and all that stuff. But I think that you can frame it as like, you know, this can be better, rather than I don't like it now as it is. Like, we can make this better, we can improve this, I think is a really good thing to think about. You know?
Yeah, absolutely. And the thing is that the kind of the work that's being done by my colleagues and contemporaries in the music world and the art world and the whole cultural sector is one of the most exciting things in terms of unity and collaboration and community coming together to express that shared belief and love and provide a kind of a vision of hope, not just about the world, you know, the stopping extinction and, you know, but actually about how we can exist happier as human beings, connected to one another as well as the natural world, if that's what you're interested in. I'm not suggesting everyone needs to go and like kind of immerse themselves in nature. That's not some people's thing. Occasionally I like, you know, central heating and a hot bath, and I encourage people to take advantage of it, but you know what I mean?
Of course, I think it's important to like have achievable aims, do you know what I mean? And also to be able to speak about them in a kind of like in an accessible way as well, because I think that can be, or at least in the past anyway, there can be a sense of like it's very easy to paint people as extremists when actually what they want is fairly common sense and fairly scientifically sound.
But it's such a good point actually, and when you look at that extremism and you see that in actually the extreme is that all those gestures of hippiness and, you know, close to the earthness, actually when you take that away you realize we're
You can say that.
You're not. This is not BBC, right?
It's not. No. They would not let me on the BBC.
Right,
believe you me.
Fucked. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. They would lay on the BBC.
No. But yeah, it's. I do think it's kind of. Yeah, I mean, however you go about it, or whatever you kind of like think about method or whatever, like the science is pretty irrefutable. I did a podcast recently with climate scientists. They worked on sea ice, and it was. And bear in mind, scientists are very. They're not given to hyperbole. They tend to be quite measured in their language. Right. They were like, yeah, there is a point whereby the sea ice kind of gets to the point where it's, you know, it's no longer able to reflect, or it's just, and it shrinks, and then all this other stuff happens, like sea currents, feedbacks. And it's like, you know, and it becomes, obviously it's quite a difficult thing to hear, but I think that it's, well, I think that there is a link between your work as a, I'm not going to say folk singer, but as a musician, as someone who is interested in kind of like that end of music, and the kind of like, environmental concerns, like there is a kind of distinct joining there. Do you know what I mean? There is a, that feels consistent to me. You know,
well, I have very simple ambitions really in what I do, and that is that that we need societal change, you know, on all levels. But ultimately, the climate emergency is the single biggest social issue of our lifetimes, and it will be one of our future generations. And that for us to make the changes, to bring the changes in that we have to do right now, the only way we can change people's minds is by affecting their hearts. And I'm a firm believer that music, as you as musicians will know, is the highest art form. It's the art form that all other it's the all other art forms aspire to, the state of music and that ability to turn people inside out and change their hearts. And once we've changed people's hearts, people are actually going to start to rethink. So it's us as musicians who are, you know, cultural leaders in that respect, who are actually going to bring about the sort of changes we need. And, you know, you're looking at the artists right now who are standing up for, you know, a rethinking of the towards the election, and you're like, actually, we've got to vote with our hearts right now, and not out of a selfishness. And, you know, voting is one of the most powerful things you can do, and we obviously encourage all the listeners to go and vote.
Go and vote. Go and vote. I mean, I can tell you how to vote, but don't listen to me. Just go, definitely go and vote. Yeah. However you're going to vote, go and vote.
I'd like to tell people how not to vote
But yeah, I'm going to.
Yeah.
Guess which way I'm voting. Speaking of voting, I signed Music Declares. I think my label Domino signed Music Declares. I think musicians should go and do that, and because obviously you're in a difficult position as a musician, because you are constantly traveling, you're always kind of like, you're always living a little bit sort of you know, on the move, you're not particularly settled, so there is, don't think you're a hypocrite, there's, you know, it's a long game in some senses, but yeah, please go and do that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm so, and just to say, Music Declares is a, is an organization that's about the music industry, collectively working together to reach carbon zero by 2030, and a set of other conditions about being truthful about climate change, climate emergency, not climate change, non-clatcher there, and a whole load of other things. But it's also about how we can support each other united. We can find more economical ways of behaving and practicing more environmentally sustainable ways.
Yeah.
But also, the world needs music. It needs to be there. Without it, there's no world worth living in, as far as I'm concerned.
And I don't think really musicians are going to suddenly just become, like, just, you know, video casting gigs. I mean, that's obviously possible, and I think that's great. And but I think there's still going to be a want for people to be face-to-face with their favourite artists. Yeah. Or, you know, and I think that still has the power to be in a room with an artist that you love, and for them to sing, and you feel like it's only for you. And I think that has a great power, and that's not going to stop. But I think that we do need to work out a way in which we can do that whilst not just getting on a bunch of planes.
But the planes we get on, we have to be aware of what that impact is and how to offset that, or
it's just
compromise.
Information, isn't it? Really, and sharing, and you know, ways in which you can do that, and not necessarily judging people.
We are not going to stop flying, not just we as musicians. The world isn't going to stop flying, but we need to start investing in more sustainable solutions and ways of counteracting that.
Indeed.
And at the moment, the things we need to do are protect what we have, forests particularly, restore the environment that we have, and then it's about investment, about where we fund, what we fund, where we put our money in. you know, I think the great thing that musicians can do to kids can lead the way in terms of how we look at where we're putting our money, who we're endorsing, who we're being invested in, all those sorts of things. Like, you know, who are our providers, who are our energy from your home, but also into terms of your merchandise, everything, every level.
Who are the sponsors for the festival you're playing, all that kind of thing.
Exactly, And so, you know, I remember a situation in WOMAD in New Zealand with the band, and it's sponsored by BP. It was BP.
Ooh, that's a greenwash, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, you know, they ran the town.
Green rinse.
Yeah, of course.
And it was a rule. We didn't know until we got there that suddenly we were being, you know, our whole gig was, and our being there was funded by BP.
Wow.
One of my musicians, God bless him, because I didn't have the confidence at the time, stood up at the end of the final concert, the closing concert, took the microphone in front of the whole festival, and did a very eloquent rant against BP. We've not been invited back since.
I think you'll take that one, right?
They'll forgive us in the end.
Thank you for speaking so eloquently about that. But we should say you have a record coming out.
Oh yeah, that
Old Wow in January. that's small matter of your record.
But it's all about that. So I feel the music says it probably better than I can ever do it.
As music is for.
Yeah.
Old Wow out in January, UK tour in support of that. Please go and see him. I'm going to be at Earth. So, yeah.
Brilliant.
Sam Lee, thank you very much for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
This is Cupcake.
Nothing tacky about my acne. The inside, the most attractive. Hearing really that nappy. If I stop comparing it to yak. Been walked over so much, now when I meet someone I act rude. They always ask if my tats hurt, but the hurt why I got tattoos. Always tell myself it's a big difference in being alive and living. It's funny how a girl with a fat ass could get more comments than a hurricane hitting. No gas station round and you still push a car that shows you driven. And most people already skipped this song cause it ain't about sex or killing. Self-interview, why the fuck do I do the things that I do? Self-interview, why I fuck him the moment I see that he's cute? Self-interview, how the hell my life more shitty than a zoo? Self-interview, ain't none of these acts for fool Yahoo. I look in the mirror, and I gotta ask myself, am I staying true to me? I just wanna know. Females have sex on the first night, they get called a hoe for that one night stand.
Check this out.
Men have sex on the first night, congratulations, you gotta route her bands. Most wouldn't comprehend, double standards need to end. It's a list of shit I could name, but it ain't enough ink in his pen. Spent 3 hours on makeup with my face covered like Peekaboo. Whole time me with another girl with good cheekbones like Pikachu. Back then we had lip gloss and some overalls as the usual. Nowadays I gotta show skin and wear soap ends to feel beautiful. Self-interview, why the fuck do I do the things that I do? Self-interview, why I fuck him the moment I see that he's cute? Self-interview, how the hell my life more shitty than a zoo? Self-interview, ain't none of these ass for fool Yahoo.
I see people on the gram posting 4K, be the last person to donate. I'm hoping I never be there, you know. Never change for the fame. Stay me.
Self-interview, why the fuck do I do the things that I do? Self-interview, why I fuck him the moment I see that he's cute? Self-interview, how the hell my life more shitty than a zoo? Self-interview, ain't none of these ass for fool Yahoo.
I look in the mirror, and I gotta ask myself, am I staying true to me? I just wanna know.
Tuesday Takeover with One True Pairing on FUBAR Radio.
Never let me go. Love me much too much. if you let me go. Life would lose its touch. What would I be without you? There's no hope for me without you. Never let me go. I'd be so lost if you went away. There'd be a thousand hours in the day without you. Because of one caress, my world was overturned at the very start. All my bridges burned by my flaming heart. You wouldn't hurt me, would you? You couldn't leave me, could you? Never let me go. Never let me go. Because of one caress, my world was overturned at the very start. All my bridges burned by my flaming heart. You wouldn't hurt me.
Wonder Pairing Takeover on FUBAR Radio. That was the wonderful Irene Crawl. Before that, we had Cupcake, absolutely ripping us a new one. And Cash Carraway is in the studio. Hello.
Hello, how are you?
Welcome.
Yeah, thank you.
My absolute pleasure. Thank you for coming in. We're here to discuss, well, amongst other things, your wonderful book, Skin to State, which I just bought with my own money and read, and it's wonderful. Congratulations on it.
Thank you. You've actually read the whole thing?
I've actually, if I'm honest, I'm about 80% of the way through because it only arrived on Saturday. So I've been nailing it, but I haven't quite finished it. So I can't give any concrete spoilers, which is good.
Good.
But yeah, it's wonderful. It's seething and scathing and has a real cast of monsters in it.
Yeah, it's quite angry. I was in a very dark place when I wrote it. Mm. So I think I wrote it within like 3 months. So
wow, really?
Wow. Yeah, November last year to February this year.
Bloody hell.
In like a rage.
Wow. Sure.
Just like the nights are drawing in, I'm angry. Let's write a book.
Yeah. I don't know how I managed to do it, actually. I nearly lost my mind a few times.
Bloody hell, I've never written a book, but like I do know that like when you start to create something and like it sort of happens without you and then you get to the end, it's like forgetting where you're going when you're driving. It's like, oh, did I do that? You know what I mean?
Yeah, and I don't know about you, but I like really procrastinate. So I got the deal.
Oh,
like,
yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, the idea of doing the work is actually horrendous, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, you mean I've got to do something and then people will judge me for that. Right.
That's the worst thing, isn't it? It's like, it's really exciting getting like a creative project and getting paid to do it. And then suddenly it's like, shit.
No, yeah, I've got to do it. I've got to do it. I've got expectations and the deadline's approaching.
Deadlines, and also people are actually going to know what's going on inside my mind and judge me.
Of course. Well, that's the thing with them. I mean, obviously, when you make music, it's a little bit removed from that. But I mean, I'm really resisting the urge to ask like how much like quote unquote real it is. But like, it certainly feels like a very personal work, and there is a lot of rage in it, a lot of anger, and a lot of quite self-examinatory stuff, and also a lot about this country and how it operates as well. It's a real it's very kind of Kafkaesque in the kind of like the way Britain is today, you know what I mean?
Yeah, thank you for saying that. Yeah, I think it kind of follows the tradition of like Bukowski and Miller, mm-hmm. Kind of like going really internal. It is political, but it's a really, really internalised political book. So it's about kind of how policy affects the individual rather than how it affects society, but in turn affecting society.
Of course,
everyone.
Because society is made up of individuals, so. Yeah.
Well, I think you do that brilliantly in terms of how it. Because there is a real personal voice to it, and a real kind of like showing how small someone feels when trapped up in this huge machine that appears to want to kill them.
Yeah. Do you know what I mean? It feels like it's the story about telling a story that no one will let you tell.
Yeah, I think you make reference to that. That like I shouldn't be saying this. I don't feel I have the right to say this, which is it's something I've sort of encountered a lot. It's a very kind of like working class position, because I think if you come from a background that is kind of like educated by accident, then you kind of just feel, oh, I'm just going to do this today. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. There is a sense in which like there's a naturalness to it, and
I agree with that. And I think from the outside, there's a lot of suspicion around working class people who create that kind of work, because we're kind of told that working class people are stupid. And
yes, we are.
We don't know our own voices. Yeah. We can't really speak for ourselves. Mm-hmm. So when you do speak for yourself, you're ultimately kind of put under suspicion, and people don't really believe that what you're saying is true. Like when you said how much is real, it's like it's a completely real story. Of course, I use artistic license.
Yeah, of course. Yeah,
because I'm an artist, but. Again, that's a thing that people don't like working class people to do.
Oh,
did you find that?
I think with what I'm doing, I feel like I'm not doing the narrative. I'm like kind of like it's kind of a working class male thing, quote unquote, but it's not quite what people are expecting to hear, maybe. And I think I mean it's a lot more kind of like in the ether than your voice is, for example. But I think there is a lot of you really don't pull any punches. Like there are bits. I mean, I just think it's very funny in places. I mean, like you straight away you're like in the prologue you're like nailing Deliciously Ella, which like made me spit my coffee all over the place. It's like, oh, thank God somebody's paying attention to this shit, you know. But that and then you have the kind of, you know, the I'd really try not to give spoilers, but like the guy, you know, the pervert.
I mean, there's no narrative, so don't worry. it's just a throw in of rage.
It's great because it does feel like you do come away feeling a bit like, for want of a better phrase, like spittle flecked, or is a sense of like, oh my God, I wasn't quite ready to hear that.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And there is a rawness to it, which I was expecting more poise, more elevation. It's more just like, no, listen here.
No, it's
you know
really
what I mean?
Unsophisticated, actually. It's it's kind of like saying, I don't want to be an intellectual.
Mm. Yeah, that's a really important point as well, because there's more than one way to write a book, right? You don't have to join the...
Yeah.
You talk about the kind of, like, lovely ladies of Maida Vale, and, like, you don't have to join that set in order to do what they do, or to have... I guess you can... And doing what they do does not equal having what they have.
Yeah.
And maybe it never will, you know.
Yeah. It's very much a book about being an outsider and wanting to fit in, and then realising that you're probably never going to be able to because people don't...
Completely agree with that. It's that thing, I think, when I first got into music and wanted to be around musicians, especially when I moved down to London, I was like, I want to be down there because that's where all the people like me are.
Yeah.
And then you get down, then you're like, oh no, I don't fit in here either. So I guess I'm just going to be me on my own and do the thing.
Most
so.
Of the bands that are kind of up and coming these days generally tend to have been to public school.
I think that's important to say, yeah. And while great music can come from public school, you can make great things from any background.
Yeah.
You would expect there to be more a broader spectrum, considering how few people really go to private school. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, all my favourite bands have always come from working class backgrounds. Manitou Preachers, Suede.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever loved a band who went to private school. They all sound like Coldplay, don't they?
There is a lack of edge. I mean, I think I'm generalising, but it's a fair generalisation. I mean, if anyone wants to call in and fight me, that's fine. But I feel like there is something to that. You know,
I think when you're not fighting against something, and that's not to say that people who've been to public school can't be fighting against something, because you can always be fighting against the internal. But when it comes to music, if you've had to, or writing a book or making art, if you're constantly having to fight, when you get there, it just becomes so much more beautiful, I think.
I agree. I think there's something to be gained in the fight. I mean, there's something, I guess something gets lost to you personally, but you kind of gain a perspective. I mean, I don't put words in your mouth, but like there is something to that, right?
Yeah. I definitely lost a part of myself writing that book because my life is really different now as well. Like when I was writing it, I was living in like abject poverty. I was isolated. I was living outside of London because I'd been like cleansed from the city.
yeah, quite.
And, you know, now... It feels weird talking about that time because I'm in a different place now. But that place that I wrote about is still a place that lots of people are living in.
Sure.
Second.
And I don't want to say you're a successful writer now. I mean, but I think if you are from a kind of like regular background, like the cushioning isn't there. You're only as good as your next thing rather than your last thing.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
That's really scary, actually.
Sorry. Oh God,
with
I mean, in my work, yeah, I think I'm only ever a paycheck from the bin. You know, and that's a shock. That is a shock. I think after like you would have thought, like, you know, I think my whole time as a musician was spent kind of like throwing money into other people's skiing holidays. Do you know what I mean? Like paying private rents, like you know, constantly being in debt, constantly kind of working off stuff. So like, yeah, it's not the 90s anymore for musicians. I'm sure in case anyone was wondering, no one's driving any BMWs.
Saving publishing as well.
Absolutely. It's not. Having a best-selling novel doesn't equal fame, let alone having just a novel that sells some.
No, you know what I mean?
Of course it's a memoir, yeah, of course it is. It's a very personal story.
Isn't a bestseller.
No,
unfortunately.
It should be. Well, hopefully this show can do something to address that. It's called Skin to State. It's by Cash Carraway, sat in front of me. It's really good. It's full of things you probably don't want to hear but should hear. And,
it's kind of sexy as well, isn't it? It's a sexy book.
I think it's sexy. There's a lot of very kind of like very sort of strident female sexuality in it. There's a lot of very strident anger, and there's a lot of humour as well. I think it's funny. I mean, it's a very bleak humour, but I do think it's funny. It had me spitting out my coffee on several occasions.
Oh, good. Thank you.
So, Cash Carraway, thank you very much
for
coming in the studio.
Me.
My absolute pleasure. So we're going to play some Suicide for you.
My comic Takeover with One True Pairing on FUBAR Radio.
One True Pairing on FUBAR Radio, we're back. How are we doing, Josh?
We're all right, yeah.
Yeah, we're feeling good, feeling good.
I'm feeling very rosy-cheeked.
Feeling very rosy-cheeked. It's kind of like hot and cold in here. We've got a kind of...
It was that coffee, I think. That was absolute. Is that that kerosene.
We're all a bit over-caffeined. So, I think we're going to play... I think we're just waiting on Matt Tong from Algiers, I believe. We're going to... we're still waiting on Matt Tong from Algiers, so I'm going to play you some more music.
Oh, he's
here. Sorry, Matt, forgive me. Such a professional. Matt Tong?
Hello.
Hello, nice to have you.
Thank you.
Wonderful, thank you. Yeah, thank you for speaking to us.
Of course.
Brilliant to have you. As you can tell, I'm not a professional radio presenter, so I wasn't 100% sure whether you were on the line or what button I was pressing, but it's great to have you in the studio now.
It's all right. I'm barely a professional musician either.
Oh, aren't we, mate? Aren't we all? yeah, amazing to have you. I love the new tracks. They're really, really great.
Thank you.
I think that, I mean, I wanted to have Algiers on the show because I think you guys are one of the more important bands operating right now. I think you're one of the more interesting. And the new stuff really has surpassed my expectations. I think it's really wonderful for what I've heard.
Oh, that's great to hear. I mean, you know, we've been locked away working on it for so long. It's good to finally get a bit of feedback.
God, so yeah, of course, it must be quite early days for that kind of thing. Are you able to,
even
like,
if it was negative feedback, you know, like any opinion would be gladly welcomed.
Just say
point.
Something, right? Just say something. Yeah, but it's I know exactly how you feel with that. It's like, because you make this stuff and then you put it out and it's just like, is it happening yet? Is it happening yet? Is it happening yet? You know, it's a very nervous time, but rest assured it is
right, yeah.
Really interesting, like really good. I liked everything. I liked you, like, from the, I remember getting into you guys on the self-titled and then it continuing from there, and like, obviously the Underside of Power is really good, and yeah, this one promises great things, if I may. Can we talk about the album artwork? I know it's a radio, but the album artwork is insane.
Yeah. That was a collaboration between our guitarist Lee and a close friend of the band called Farbod, who runs an Atlanta-based label called Geographic North, and he is also Farbod is a graphic designer by trade. So I think this time around we had a lot more time between the actual completion of the record and releasing it and sure. the subsequent promotional material. So I think Lee really wanted to kind of work on something that had a very distinctive identity visually.
It certainly has that.
There was a lot of going back and forth, and as far as I could tell, lots of minute adjustments of the typeface and
yeah, and especially when you're working in a band, this kind of it's not as easy to get a two-way conversation going, is there? There's always a kind of you have to agree on it first and then go back and all that kind of stuff,
right? But particularly as we try and operate as a collective, that also makes it harder than someone just saying, hey, it's going to be this way, so you can't argue with that.
Yeah, because I am the artist. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I think a lot's been made of your guys' kind of genre mixing, and you guys have indeed have satirized it quite effectively in a track I'm about to play. But it is. I'm very interested in stuff that doesn't do the narrative, because you guys are very politically engaged. You're very kind of your music is very much about the world at large, but it doesn't feel
right.
It feels like you're kind of. You're skewering people who kind of feel like they're in charge of the narrative, or that they are indeed the woke ones, or anything like that. There's a sense in which you're kind of disrupting things slightly and shaking people's trees.
I'm not going to try and speak for everyone.
No, of course. No, sorry.
I think at this stage in the game, I think we're all coming at it from slightly different points, but of course, sure. We've always maintained that everything, everything you encounter or during your day-to-day life has some kind of political connotation, which is it's draining to think about that 100% of the time, but I think we also haven't tried to shy away from it. So yeah, it does kind of come to the surface a lot in the music and for interviews as well. But I think this time around, I think Frank was kind of wanted to explore more. He did most of the lyric writing,
sure.
and I think he just really wanted to kind of dig more into the kind of personal, how things were impacting him personally.
I see, yeah.
And even then, not really talking about that too explicitly, I think he kind of wanted to kind of incorporate more of a kind of puzzle-solving aspect to his lyricism this time around as well.
That makes sense.
I think his approach isn't to really... I think he's kind of stated to me, at least, that his approach isn't going to be to kind of address too much of what he's written about in this record directly this time around through, interviews and whatnot. I think he wants to give the audience, whoever listens to us, the opportunity to decode, some of what's going on, really, in the songwriting.
But that shouldn't be an unusual idea, should it? That shouldn't be a quaint idea, but, that's what you had to do.
No, of course not.
No one was shouting about their own lyrics on Twitter. Do you know what I mean? It was like, oh, here's the thing, try and think about what it means, rather than have a snappy headline that, Coca-Cola can use. You know what I mean? It's
it's the music business, and you can try and push up against it, but, if you want to kind of make a living, and try and perform in front of what's hopefully a growing fan base, you have to kind of give yourself to some of the demands of the media that reports or talks about your band. Music journalists are really up against it at this point. I don't envy anyone who is trying to make a living from writing, so I personally don't begrudge anyone for kind of... I think at this point, just to kind of accuse someone of lazy journalism is sort of missing the point a bit, because it's you only have X amount of time in the day to write about so many different bands or artists, and there are so many people doing this at the moment.
I do go along with that. I'm the worst skewering journalist for that as well, but I do agree that people want quick headlines, people want things to be simple and compact and contained with it, contained in meaning. Do you know what I mean? And I think one of the things I love about your band is it's a bit more than that. Do you know what I mean? It's
right.
It's wonderful. I should mention that you have a new record coming out. There Is No Year, in January, which of course I'm going to play some of in a little while. But yeah, and you've got a tour that would kill a lesser band. Good Lord, you're beginning in February, carrying on all the way through March, all the way through UK, Europe, North America. It looks brutal. I mean, I'm sure it'd be fun, but good God.
Yeah.
Or am I weak? I know, if you've kind of like spent time in America, that's a different level of touring to what I'm used to in the UK. But it seems like a hell of a tour.
We are pretty tired. We've been grinding them out, over the last few years, and we're not getting any younger. That's for sure. But
sure.
You know, I have a theory. I died about 7 years ago. And the 5-hour energy has just kept my body animated. The historical consumption of 5-hour energy. You get used to it after a while. Because through touring, like you stop forgetting about your responsibilities at home.
And yeah, you do.
Yeah, and your world becomes that much smaller, you know, and so you're not necessarily taken up with thinking about, you know, the day, there's cockroaches in the fridge, or like, you know, I've got to do the washing up. It's like, I just have to get out of bed and maybe make sure I don't smell so bad so the van's not an unpleasant environment, and then just get in the van and like close my eyes for another few hours and then get to the venue and hopefully not put my back out carrying some guitar amps, you know, upstairs.
Yeah, do the show and then that's my responsibility done.
Then that's it. You've just got to look after yourself and make sure you're physically capable of doing a show that people have paid to, you know, see you do.
Yeah, quite, yeah. well, listen, I'm into that. Matt Tong from Algiers, everybody. I'm going to play a track of yours. Thank you very much for speaking to me. I really appreciate it, and I love you.
No worries. I mean, thanks for having me on the show.
My total pleasure. This is Can the Sub Bass Speak by Algiers.
Niggas don't know how to act. What is this? This ain't hip hop. This ain't punk rock. You ain't punk rock. You ain't hip hop. What is this? What style of music do you play? What kind of music do you play? What do you call your music? What genre is this? How do you mix all these genres together? Why do you mix all these genres together? How do you do it? I see it's kind of like gospel punk, soul punk, soul rock, doom soul. What is this fusion? Man, it's more like confusion. I like the punk, I don't like the soul. I like the soul, I don't really like the punk. It's soulful, but why do you have to make it ugly? You don't even know what your sound is. Nigga, you don't know how to act. Oh, these niggas don't know how to act. Where are you from? Where are you really from? No, where are you really from in Africa? Yeah, you look like your ancestors might have come from Mali. You know, I spent a summer there once. Yeah, you look like them. That's not your real voice, is it? Is that your real voice? Why do you talk like that? Yeah, you don't really dress like that, dude. You don't really talk like a black guy. I mean, you're black, but you ain't really black. You don't really act black, nigga. Yeah, you're more a Negro than a nigga. Yeah, you're pretty cool for a nigga, but you ain't really a nigga. You know what I'm saying? You know that Chris Rock sketch where he says that there's a difference between black people and niggas? Yeah, why can't I say it? Why are you allowed to say it, but we can't say it? Fuck you, nigga. You don't really know how to act. Oh, you niggas don't really know how to act. How does it feel to be a black man making white music? A middle-aged black man observing young white people shout the N-word to rap songs. A 35-year-old black man observing young white people shout the N-word to rap songs. The bombastic, but to the point of kitsch, even though the issues at hand are a matter of life and death. Never mentioning the name of victims of racially motivated violence. The effect is weirdly impersonal, so over the top, it's political melodrama. Fuck your experience, nigga. You ain't from the hood. You ain't got gold in your mouth. Nigga, you ain't ever been in jail. You're too old and too inauthentic. Fuck young, gifted, and black, nigga. You don't know how to act.
All you niggas don't know how to act. I love what you do, but I wish you would just get off of the identity politics and start talking about structural politics. You know who you remind me of? You remind me of TV on the radio. You remind me of Fishbone. You remind me of Gary Clark Jr. You remind me of Bad Brains. You remind me of Living Color. You remind me of Lenny Kravitz. You know who you look like? You look like Lawrence Fishburne. You look like Usher. You look like Forrest Whitaker. You look like Paul George. You look like Denzel Washington. You look like that cat from 24. What? I'm just trying to be nice. Fuck you, nigga. All you niggas don't know how to act. Oh, you niggas don't know how to act. Oh, you know, I love black girls. I fucked a black girl once, you know. I got black friends, too. You know, one of my best friends was a nigga when I was growing up. We used to play basketball together, and he could jump and run so fast because he had extra muscle. Did you know that? Y'all got an extra muscle in your leg. You got it from when you was running from the slave masters. Oh, but you niggas still don't know how to act. Oh, you niggas don't know how to act. You know what black music is, right? Yeah, I love old school hip hop. Does it bother you when white people dance to your music at shows? Did you used to be a preacher? Oh, you're from Atlanta. I love trap music. That's the home of trap music. You know what that is, right? Oh, but you know Bob Dylan created rap. Oh, you know CeeLo Green? Oh, yo, you niggas don't know how to act. I love Supreme. That got 10 out of 10. You know, Michael Jackson still a got best new nigga, but y'all still don't know how to act. Oh, you niggas don't really know how to act.
Get back to where you once belonged, they sing. They gave him drink and take away the water. Get back to where you once belonged, they sing. They tattoo his face with Queen obscenities. Get back to where you once belonged, they sing. They hack off his tongue ceremoniously with all institutional pomp and circumstance. Get back to where you once belonged, they sing. They tie him to be quartered to the four major pillars of validation. Get back to where you once belonged, they sing. They decorate him in gold. Get back to where you once belonged, they sing. Exhausted in the briars, his sighs a resigned contortion. They seize it at birth and bottle it for voyeuristic observation and anthropological instruction and put it on display in natural history museums, pornographic textbooks, designer drab window displays, and conspiracy websites. Dance like a monkey, chatter like an ape. Put on the jacket and the full face, everyone will apply. They clinger on this way until he hits the ground. Then they finally give the thumbs down.
Can the Sub Bass Speak by Algiers? If you don't feel implicated by that, you're not listening hard enough. Wonderful track, wonderful band. Album coming out in January. Check it out. Wonder Parent Takeover.
Indeed.
Tom's here. Josh is here.
Almost the end.
I'd like to shout out Pete Flinton. He's not here, but he's in our hearts.
Yeah, I'd like to shout out Peter Flinton. Peter Flinton is our tour manager and sound engineer, but he's a sound engineer first, but the way it is these days, you basically can't just be a sound engineer.
You just got to do everything. Yeah. You've just got to drive. You've got to deal with advances and various other things. Deal with my dangerous personality.
Uncle Pub in the back of the car, yep, after the show.
Absolutely. Sit me in the back, give me a bottle of wine, listen to my cares.
I mean, I wish I had, after tour, this thing, I would love to have Pete Flinton, life manager, just because you forget how to live, you know, as we were talking about, you forget how to live when you're on tour and you come off and you just need someone to be like, yeah, so what you do is you put one foot out of the bed first and then the other, then you get up and then you just go about your day. And
yeah, and you don't need money to pay for things, they're not just provided to you.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if you're going somewhere, you need to organise that for yourself.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. I'm not going to tell you where to be between the hours of 4 p.m. and 11 p.m. because you're probably going to be on your own at home on the couch. So
yeah, I mean, not doing anything of worth.
Yeah, I can't tell you what to watch on a TV tonight.
It's been fun. I mean, this has been a joy. This has been fun being at Fubar Radio. Thank you very much for having me. I hope it hasn't been too much of a chore for your ears. It's certainly not been a chore for mine. I'd like to thank all my guests. I'd like to thank Richard Dawson, Ellie Moore, Sam Lee, Cash Carraway, and Matt Tong. I mean, it's been a bloody pleasure.
It has. It's been bloody lovely.
It has been bloody lovely. Honestly, the amount of places two weird northerners can get. You know what I mean? You just stick your foot
it's
in the
no
door.
Stopping
and
us,
there's
is
no stopping us. No, we're like the smooze. You know what I mean? We just get in the cracks.
It's because we're so friendly and people want to buy things from us. So they trust us.
If anyone needs someone to sell their insurance or their soft drinks or perhaps their Christmas sale.
Well, we tried to sell a book, a record and a tour today, so I think we've done...
We're doing our best. I mean, I was actually in to do a vocal for a Christmas advert. I didn't get it, probably because I sound like I'm about to rip your head off at any point. But I haven't exactly got the most romantic of voices. It's like a kind of a very pissed off Leonard Cohen. But... but yeah, for some reason they don't want me advertising Christmas goods. Why is that, Josh? I don't know. Is it because I don't believe in the Christian sanctity of Christmas? I don't know.
It could be. It could be that. Did you explain that your dad played the pipe organ in the church?
No, I didn't get a chance to before I was kicked out of the advertising office. I should have done. I mean, I don't mind Christmas. I'm just being.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's too easy just to be like, I hate Christmas because it's really commercial. Because actually, especially if not for me this year, but especially if you're away from where your birthplace, perhaps, or where you grew up, you get to go back there at Christmas, and usually people are around, and it is a joyous occasion.
It can be a joyous occasion, yeah.
It's usually a messy occasion as well. Definitely.
No one in this room drinks alcohol, of course.
No, of course not. No, just really strong coffee. No.
It's been a pleasure. I think our time is sadly drawing to a close, but it's been a One True Pairing takeover on FUBAR Radio. It's been an absolute pleasure to play for you all, to be here, to just be a conduit for my wonderful guests. And I'm now going to leave you with the wonderful Cocteau Twins. Please enjoy. Have a good evening. One True Pairing.
Tuesday Takeover with One True Pairing on FUBAR Radio.